Do we have to daven with a minyan? You know, that's the million-dollar question. If someone says, I do better when I don't daven with a minyan, or, you know, I have more kavana at home, is it a mitzvah to daven with a minyan? That's the million-dollar question. Or I should say, that's the 10-person question. Right? Should we say? So it all starts with two very interesting gemaras. So Gemara number one, we say all discussions of tefillah begin with the Gemara in Brachos. I think we've remained fairly consistent with all of that since we've begun. So it's Gemara in Brachos on 7b, Zayin Amud Beis, through Ched Amud Aleph, right in the bottom. So the Gemara says as follows, an interesting conversation, you can imagine any one of us having it with anyone else at any time. So Amar le Rabbi Yitzchak le Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yitzchak bumps into Rav Nachman, and Rabbi Yitzchak says, "My time alo ati mar lebeik mishta." So what does he say? He says Rabbi Yitzchak bumps into Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman is the one of the leading dayanim, one of the leading rabbinical court judges in his town. So he says, "Why weren't you at shul yesterday?" So Amar le litzluye what to daven. Amar le lo yachilna. He says I couldn't make it. Amar le. So, lichnefei lamar asar v'litzlei. So he says you should have gotten 10 guys to come to your house and daven with a minion in a hand. So Amar lei, so Rav Nachman says to him, trichali milta. Right? It was too much. It was too much work. I didn't want to have to do that.
What language is this?
Aramaic. So v'leim alei mar l'shlucha de tzibura be'idna dematli tzibura leite v'loga. So let the rabbi should have, Rav Nachman, you should have told the shlucha de tzibura, who is not the chazen, the shliach tzibur, but you should have told the gabbai, that he should come get you at the time when they're all davening. So vilodiye lamar, and you should have told the rabbi. So amalei maikulei hai. Says, why do I need to do all of that? Rav Nachman's like, what are you hocking me before? I couldn't make it to shul. Leave me alone. You know what I mean? Like why are you hocking me? So Amar Lei, so Rav Yitzchak says to him, I'll tell you why I'm hocking you. The Amar of Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, because Rav Yochanan says in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai, Mayud Lichtiv, what does it mean when it says in Tehillim, Samach Tes, Va'ani Tvilasi Lecha Hashem Eitz Ratzon? He says, and as for me, my prayer to you should be at a time of your desire. So, imatai is ratzon. When is it a time when God desires prayer? B'sha'a she'atzibur mispalalin. When is that? That's when the congregation is davening together. Right? So, God listens better when the congregation is davening together. Rabbi Yossi b'Rabbi Chanina amar mehacha. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Chanina says, I have another proof. Right from here. Ko amar Hashem be'itz ratzoni nisicha. Thus says the Lord, at a time of desire, meaning a time when I want your prayers, that's when I respond to you. Okay? So Ravacha Bar Chanina Amar Mehacha. Ravacha Bar Chanina says, I have another pasuk. Hein El Kabir Lo Yimas. Right? When it is powerful, God will not reject your prayers. Uksiv Pada B'Shalom Nafshi Mikarev Li Kibrir Abim Hayu Imadi. He says, when does God redeem me in peace, according to Tehillim Nunhei Yotes, right? When I am dwelling amongst the many, right? Tani Nami Hachi, Rabbi Nathan Omer, Minayin She'in HaKodesh Baruch Hu Mo'etz B'Tfilasam Shel Rabim. How do we know that God is not disgusted or God does not reject the prayers of the many? Shenemar, as it says, Hein El Kabir V'lo Yimas. God is the powerful God, and He will not reject. Etc. And as it says also that God redeems me in peace when what? When there are many. So Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, thus says the Lord, Kol Ha'usek B'Torah, anyone who involves himself in Torah, V'Gmilos Chasadim, and anyone who involves himself in acts of kindness, U'Mispalel Im HaTzibor, and anyone who prays with the congregation, Ma'ale ani alav, I view it as for him, ki ilu pida'ani li livni mibeinu mos ha'olam. It's as if, what? It's as if he's redeemed himself from amongst the other nations. Powerful words. So Rabbi Yitzchak says to Rabbi Nachman, that's why I'm hocking you. I want to know, what if davening with a minion is so important, how come you stayed home to daven and you didn't come to shul? That's my question for you, Rav Nachman. How come you didn't view it as your responsibility to daven with him? That's where the Gemara ends. Okay? What do we get from this Gemara? Is it required to daven with a minyan, or is it a good thing? It's a good thing. It's a good thing. It's a very bad thing not to daven with a minyan. We'd really, really prefer if you did come to shul, but clearly if someone of the stature of Rav Nachman is at least not feeling, you know, like he did anything wrong, at least initially, by not going to shul, so it doesn't seem like it is a requirement or a responsibility. Okay, so that's the Gemara and Brachos. From the Gemara and Brachos, right, it would seem that it is not a requirement. It is nonetheless, it is a wonderful thing to do, to daven with a minyan, but not necessarily a straight out requirement. Comes along in Gemara, in Psachim, Daf Mem Vav Amud Aleph, and it wants to know, how far does one have to go to do various things? Right? How far do you have to go, right? What would you do for a Klondike bar? You know, that's the thing. Or how much are you required to do how much effort? You know, what's the minimum amount of effort that's necessary to perform various mitzvahs? So Amar Rabbi Vo, Amar Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, Legabel ulatvila ulanitila sadaim, Legabel, which was referring to toiveling vessels in order to make a bread for one's master, right? Or for prayer, or for netilas yadayim, how far do you have to go? So says Rabbi Yevohu, in the name of Rabbi Shimon ben Lakish, arba milin, you have to go 4 miles, right? You have to be willing to travel 4 miles in order to do these things. Amar Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak, Aibo Amra. The Arba, right? So Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak says it wasn't Rav Shimon ben Lakish who said it; it was actually Ivo who said it, and he also said it was four.
And 4 miles means that you have to make your utmost effort.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what. So that's a good question, Lev. It's a great question. What does it mean? What does 4 miles mean? And the Mishnah Brura is going to wonder about this question. We'll get to it in a minute. We'll get to it shortly because 4 miles on the Long Island Expressway. It's 5 minutes, right? Not during rush hour. During rush hour, it's 45 minutes. But 4 miles in Talmudic times was a decent walk, right? It was a decent walk. The only reason we would require you to move to go anywhere for anything like that is because it was a mitzvah, and there's a minimum amount of tircha that we have to do to perform any mitzvah. So the question is, what's it talking about here? So Rashi says, legabel, what does legabel mean? So he says, Amigabel isas achirim bischar, uchle balabais tmeim. Someone who is needing dough for someone for payment. How far do you have to go in order to tovel the kelim? So arba milim hitru chachamin leilech hamikva litpo kelav. V'chein litfila, and so too for prayer. Imahalech. So what does Rashi say? What does it mean? How far do you have to go for prayer? So imahalech adam baderach. A person is traveling. Uva is lalun, ulehis palel, and it comes time for him to lie down, right, to sleep, and to daven. Im yesh beis hakneses lefanav birachoch arba milim holeich. If shul is within 4 miles of wherever you're dwelling, so what must you do? You must go. Umitzpalel sham, vilan sham, mechein lenetilas yadayim, and so too for washing hands, ulachila im tzatzi limtomayim, lefanav dalad min, holei chasham v'notel es yadav. What does Rashi say? What does it mean, litzfila? How far, you have to be willing to go 4 miles to go where? To go to shul. That is the assumption. You have to go 4 miles to go to shul. Tosfos agrees with Rashi, but also brings up the statement of another Rishon, the Aruch. Tosfos says, ulitzfila.
How do you know about the miles on those days?
I mean, people have had to travel for years.
Yeah, but the word miles, I mean, this is...
So milin was the Aramaic word for... Okay. I don't know enough about the history of, you know, how far they went. I just, you know, I mean, the Sencino calls it a mile, I call it a mile. Okay, that's what I say. All right.
So he's saying if the shul is 5 miles away, you can stay home.
Exactly. Ulitz Vila. We have old El Paso, what they're called, memories here. You know what I mean? How far was it? Okay. Right.
Right.
All right.
Right, so the lunch on
What?
Lan is to sleep there.
Yeah, yeah. So, no, meaning, the point is you've reached your destination where you're going to stay. I'm staying in Plainview. I'm staying in, I should say, Sayatet tonight. So Sayatet is within 4 miles of Plainview. I'm required to go to the Young Israel of Plainview to Davin Meir. Okay, that's what seems to be the Rashi saying. So Tosa says, Lutzvila, Nira Kaperisha Kuntrus, below, the Tosa says, that Litzvila, he says, it seems to me that Kuntris, meaning they had Rashi in a Kuntris, they had Rashi in a scroll, so they used to call Rashi the Kuntris, right? So he says, it seems to them that Rashi's interpretation is right. Zelo ke'aruch, and not like the aruch. What does the aruch explain? The depirish, Litzvila, haimu lechorot yadav lispalel. The aruch says that what does it mean, how far do you have to go Litzvila? So the aruch says it's like this. If I wake up in the morning and I got a daven and I look around and there's no water around, how far do I have to go to find water in order to wash before I daven? That's how the Aruch explains that Gemara. Which means this has nothing to do with Beis HaKnesses, and nothing to do with my requirement to go to shul, to daven with a minyan at all. Right? It has to do with other things. That's the Aruch's interpretation. So Tosfos says, I think the Aruch is wrong. I think Rashi is right. And Rashi is right in what he says, what? That it means how far you have to go to shul. Why is it important? Because if we interpret, like Rashi and Tosfos, that the Gemara in Psachim is talking about how far do I have to go in order to find a minyan, so what would that seem to be? That would seem to be pulling the issue of minyan away from the really, really good thing to do into the realm of requirement, of responsibility. Okay, that would be where we were headed. Also, the more we move it into the realm of requirement and responsibility, the less right we have for excuses, right? Because, meaning, anytime you have anything, right, there's always loopholes, right? That's the way a good legal system works, especially halacha, right? You know, there's always good loopholes for everything. You're required to do this unless you're in this category, this category, this category, this category. No, you're required to do this unless the following things are happening. No, like, there are all these loopholes. But loopholes are easier when something's a good thing rather than when something's a straight-out requirement and responsibility. So from Rashi and Tosos, it would seem to be not a total and complete responsibility, but nonetheless responsibility. Which leads a number of the Achronim to ask the obvious question. It says, I don't understand. If you're required to do something, if you're required to daven the minyan, then what's this four-mile thing? You're required to do something, so you have to do it. If you can't do it, so you're a menace. If you can do it, you should do it. Don't give him 4 miles. You should do it unless you can't do it. That should be the rule. What's 4 miles? You define it what does that mean? Right? And so how do we pass it? Look in the Rambam in his Mishnah Torah, Tefillah Perek Dalid, Halacha Beis. So says the Rambam, Taras Yadayim Ketzad, what does one have to do to wash his hands? Ruchetz Yadav B'mayim, Ad Perek, V'achar Kach Yisbalel. Right, a person washes his hands all the way up to the wrist, and then he could daven. Hayam Me'aleich B'derech, you're walking on the road, V'yigiyaz Man Tefila, comes time to daven, V'lo Hayal O'mayim, and he has no water. Imaya Bono V'in O'mayim Arba Milin, right, if it's between him and the water is 4 miles, Shem Shmonas Alafim Amma, that corresponds to 8,000 Amos. Holech Adam Makom Amayim Verochet Achar Kach Yitfalel. Right, so then he can go all the way to where the water is, and he should die. Haya Beino Bein Amayim Yoser Mikem In Kaneach Yadam Betzor Ba'afor B'Koro Mispalel. So from the Rambam, it would seem, how does he interpret the Gemara? Not like Rashi and Tosfos, but like the Aruch. So the Rambam would seem to be more in the camp of freedom, and viewing davening with a minyan as a very good thing and not necessarily as a requirement. Okay? Look in the Shulchan Aruch. How does the Shulchan Aruch paskin ma'alacha? So the Shulchan Aruch Aruch Chaim Tzadi Tes Zayin says as follows. Ha'holich baderech v'yigi al ha'er. A person is walking on the road and he gets to a city. V'rotze l'alunba, and he wants to dwell there or to stay there for the night. Im lefanav adal minim makom shemispalim bei tzarich leich sham alachrav tzarich lachzor ad mil delis palabe. So what are you required to do? So he says as follows: if there's the next shul ahead of you on your path is 4 miles away, what do you have to do? You've got to go the 4 miles. If not, you're not required to go. And he says says that if the last shul that you passed on the way is only 1 mile behind you, you got to go back a mile to go daven at that shul. So the Shulchan Aruch's position seems to be that it is at least close to requirement. So what's going on here? We thought, is it a requirement or is it not a requirement? And if it's a requirement, right, so what's this 4 mile thing? It should be, if it's feasible, you do it. If it's not feasible, you don't do it. Like, that's the way requirements work. So there are two different interpretations. Just before we do this, just an interesting Ma'ariel. The Ma'ariel, also an important Rishon. So he says, the question is are you, so there's a rule, there's an Erev Tchumen, right? An Erev Tchumen is, you have on Shabbos, we don't really think about this, but in times when they lived in, shall we say, less settled areas, so you had 2,000 amos from wherever you were, right? 2,000 els, right? E-L-S, that's the word, right? Or cubits, right? But 2,000 els from wherever you were in every direction. Let's say you needed more than that. The shul was farther away. So are you permitted? So how do you do that? So what you do is you would take a measure of food. You would put it 2,000 els from wherever it is you're dwelling. And that would give you another 2,000 L's in that direction. And the question of the Ma'ariel is going to shul a good enough reason for you to make an Erev Tchumen? And the Ma'ariel says, amazingly enough, no. I don't really think it is. So wait a minute. If we view davening with a minyan as such an important thing, how's the Ma'ariel, getting through this? So there's a couple of different explanations. So explanation number one, is that this is the nature of the takana. It's a mitzvah, but it is a mitzvah which part of the rule of the mitzvah is, like, it is a mitzvah to go up to 4 miles to find a shul. Right? That's the mitzvah. Right? It's a mitzvah to go up to 4 miles to daven with a minyan. That's the mitzvah. Okay? That's one interpretation. The Rav Soloveitchik, so he has a very different interpretation, and I want to share it with you today. Okay? The Rav, we've spoken about this before, said that every mitzvah, when you talk about it, has to be broken up into parts. We said there's a mitzvah mitzvah, there's an action that one performs, right? There is an action that one performs. And then there is a kiyum ha-mitzvah, there is the, I should say, subjective fulfillment of the mitzvah. The action, subjective fulfillment. The action of lulav and esrog is shaking the lulav and esrog in the various directions, or picking it up. You know, that's the way you're yotzei the mitzvah. The kiyum ha-mitzvah, the subject fulfillment of the mitzvah, is what? Is the actual, is the experience that you have from that performance. Okay? The maisa ha-mitzvah of Chanukah candles is lighting the candles. The kiyum ha-mitzvah is publicity of the fact that God performed a miracle. Okay? There's a mitzvah mitzvah, there's a kiyum mitzvah. Amazingly enough, one mitzvah can have more than one kiyumim, and there can also be kiyumim, right, subjective fulfillments that are added on to the mitzvah itself. And the Rav claims here that there was a kiyum ha-mitzvah in davening with a minyan. It was a qualitative, shall we say, expression, or greater qualitative expression of the main mitzvah of prayer. The mitzvah is to daven. The fulfillment of the mitzvah is a relationship with the God. The double fulfillment of the mitzvah was when one davens with a tzibor. Okay, that was the Rav's interpretation. And what the Rav called this, or if I may be putting two things together, but I think they're very much related, is he says there's a kiyum of what he called tfilas ha-tzibor. There is a mitzvah of tfila bit-tzibor, right? There's a mitzvah for one to daven with the congregation, and the fulfillment of that mitzvah ultimately comes with tfilas ha-tzibor. I daven. My davening is more powerful when it's with others, but then there is a community mitzvah that is fulfilled when we daven together. And it's very, very clear in the words of the Rambam. If you go to the Rambam in the 8th parak of Tefillah, the Rambam says it explicitly. Tefillas hatzibur nishma'as tamid. The communal prayer as an entity in and of itself, the notion of a communal prayer, is Consistently afilu. Afilu hayu bahin chotin. Even if there were individuals who were sinners. Sinners, God doesn't hear their prayers. But God hears community prayer as a singular unit. Right? Eina kadosh baruch hu ma'is b'tfilasan shel rabin. God would never be disgusted. God would never reject the community's prayer. L'fichach, tzarech adam l'shati if atzmo le'im atzibur. If a person wants his tfilos to be responded to, what's his best way? Is, meaning, you might do the ma'isa mitzvah of tfilah from today until tomorrow in your basement. Okay? If you happen to be a tzaddik, you know, gay gazin tehate, I'm sure HaKadosh Baruch Hu hears your tfilos. But if you're not a tzaddik, you know, so then I don't know what we're going to do unless we go daven with everybody else, and then all of a sudden our tfilos go up. V'lo yisfalel b'yachid kol zman sheyachol yisfalel l'matzibor. Don't daven by yourself as long as you can daven with the congregation. U'l'olam yashkin b'yariv l'beis ha'knesses she'in tfilaso mishnas b'chol eis ela b'beis ha'knesses. Right? A person should wake himself up early in the morning in order, because tefillah just any time doesn't work, but rather in shul. V'chol mi sheyishlo beis ha'knesses b'iro v'eino mispalo bo. Anyone who has a synagogue in his neighborhood, right, and he doesn't daven in that synagogue, nikra shachein ra, that's a bad neighbor. Okay, that's what the Rambam says. And the Rambam continues here, if you go perichas halacha dalid, again, using the terminology tefillas ha'tzibur, there's tfilas tzibur, hatzibur, right? You're wondering, sitting here, I thought chazaras hashas, the repetition of the Shemona Esrei, was only there because there might be some people who don't know how to daven. No, says the Rambam. The Rambam says that's the way you fulfill what? The responsibility of the unity of a singular communal prayer. That's the way it's fulfilled. The Ein Osin came b'pachos mi'asara gadolim u'bnei chorim. You need 10 male adults who are free. V'shaliach tzibor echad mehem, and the shaliach tzibor can be one of them. V'ayifilo ayu miksasan shekvar hispalu. As long as even if there's a minority that already prayed. V'yatzu yidei chovosam mashlima hem la'asara v'hushia rov asara shalifalu. You need 6 at least who have not yet davened. V'chein ein omrim kedusha v'lo korim b'torim v'varach lefanel acharev v'lo amikim nebim el ba'asara. Right, so there is this notion, this fulfillment that exists of tefillas hatzibur. Okay, is it a mitzvah? Now, technically, is it a kiyum? Obviously it is. There's a great power to it. Which is why the Rav, just kind of as an interesting point, the Rav, during Chazaras Hashas, during the repetition of the Shemona Esrei, would stand with his feet together as if he were davening. Why? Because from his perspective, you have a whole other quality to the prayer that is going on there, and he would want to be showing or displaying that fulfillment was going on right at that moment as well. So that's what he would do, which was fascinating, because Rav Shechter tells the story in Nefesh HaRav, is that the Rav on Erev Rosh Hashanah would always do for Hataras Nedarim, he would say, if he's unable because of the length of Chazaras Hashas and Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, if he wasn't able to stand with his feet together the whole time, he wanted to be able to be Matir Neder, that he should be able to open his feet or sit down if he needed to. But the Rosh Hashanah says, until the Rav could no longer stand anymore, he would stand Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur with his feet together for the entire Chazaras Hashas, which we all know is exceptionally long, whether Rosh Hashanah or Yom Kippur. Okay, so those are the issues there. Just as a couple of halachic issues, the Mishnah Berurah points out that the Lev's question that the notion of 4 miles doesn't mean 4 miles. The Mishnah Berurah says it means 18 minutes. That's how he gets to 18 minutes. You can look at it, but 18 minutes is, that's how far you have to go to find a minion. Potentially 72, because if you assume about 10 to 12 minutes per mile, 4 miles, you know, so you could up to that much. But I mean, I guess you all make your own judgment of it. So if it's so significant, and it's so important, and if it's so powerful, regardless of whether it's a requirement, but clearly there's something to it, are there ever any good reasons to miss davening? So the Shulchan Aruch says, Yishtadel adam litpalel b'beis ha'knesses im ha'tzibur. Right, a person should always try to daven with the congregation. V'im hu anus, if he is predisposed, unable for whatever reason, forced into an inability, where he's unable to daven in shul, she'eino yachol lavol leveis hakneses, so he cannot come to shul, so yichavein litzpalel b'shash ha'atzibor mispalelim, right? He should start try to daven at least at the same time when the congregation is davening. So the Mishnah Berurah wants to know, what does that mean, you're an anus, like you couldn't make it, right? So the Mishnah Berurah gives the following example. Hainu, shetash kocho, af she'eino chole. If you're weak, even if you're not sick, but you're too weak, so, you know, that's a good reason. V'umu onetz mamon, she'machmat yishtadluso l'hispalel imatibor lovo yidei hefzeh. If you're going to lose money, right, because you got to be at work by, you know, X amount of time, and if you go to shul, you're going to be late to work and you're going to lose money. So then, yachol l'hispalel b'veso b'yachid, then you can dive in by yourself, in your house, or Beis HaKnesses says below Tibor, he says, or you could even go to shul and daven by yourself also. But he says, Aval mishum inias ravach. But he says, if you're gluttonous, right, so you're not going to make. You want to make more money, and if you get to work that much earlier, you're going to be a millionaire as opposed to just, you know, make $999,000 a year, right? So he says, if you're being gluttonous, the Mishnah Berurah says that's no good reason to miss davening in shul. The other good reason is I think Alex wrote an article about this when he was president, is that people, the more often you go to shul, the more likely you are to live longer. So that's just a fact of life there. So shul lowers your blood pressure, you know, your cholesterol. It's good for you in every way, spiritually and physically. Where things become interesting is that you have here now a value of davening with the minyan. So what about when that value competes with other things? So, for example, you walk in late to shul. And I know, I heard there are some people who that happens to. I don't know anyone like that. But I heard there are some people out there like that who come in late to shul. So now you have a competing value. The mitzvah, tefillah, b'tzibor, would require you to start Shemona Esrei with the congregation. However, you have other responsibilities. What are your other responsibilities? Let's say if I daven Shemona Esrei with the congregation right now, I'm going to miss my Kriya Shema. Or I'm not going to be putting Geula and Tefillah together. Or I'm going to, all these other things. You know, what if I have, so the rule is there, so believe it or not, davening with the congregation takes second chair to that. Okay, so if I walk in late to shul, so my first responsibility is to see to it that I say Shema and Brachos on time, and that Shema and Brachos should come before my Shemona Esrei. Okay, that's number one. What is not a competing issue, and we spoke about this, I think, last week, is Psukei Dezimra. Right? Psukei Dezimra, the paragraphs of Tehillim that we say from Baruch Sha'amar through Yishtabach, those are secondary. So if I have the option of davening with the congregation, starting Shemona Esrei with the congregation, or skipping parts of Psukei Dezimra, we said that we gave all the rules for how much you get to skip a Psukei Dezimra in order to allow yourself to daven with the congregation. What about if you daven in a place that's too fast? Right? If you daven in a place that's too fast, what's going to happen? So you're still going to be in the middle of your Shemona Esrei, right? Or do you have to rush through in order to say Kedusha with the congregation? The simple answer, and it's not such a simple answer, the simple answer is you can't miss Kedusha all the time. And ideally, meaning even if you have a long Shemona Esrei, you should speed up every so often to make sure that you get Kedusha at least sometimes because it is a responsibility that you have. What about Maariv? So Maariv, right, you have the whole night to recite Shema. So Maariv, if you walk in late, better you should daven Shemona Esrei with the congregation, and then go back and say Shema Nitzbrachos after you've daven Shemona Esrei, believe it or not. So those are where it comes in. So if we look at things a little bit more globally, so let's come to our conclusion. Is it a mitzvah? Probably not. It seems like most of the force of the halachic thinking seems to be heading away from the requirement, commandment type of perspective. Is it something that we view as very, very positive to the point where we think you should move heaven and earth to try to be able to do it? The answer is yes. We believe it's that significant and that important. That being said, because it's not a straight-out commandment, it gives us a little bit more flexibility. It means that you don't have to walk more, you don't have to go more than 4 miles in order to fulfill it. And meaning, you know, like the Mishnah Berurah says, whatever it is, 18 minutes, 72 minutes, you know, walking, however much it is. And so too, if you're sick, if it's going to cost you sums of money, if any of those things might affect it, so that would give you a little bit more flexibility. And again, when it competes with other straight-out responsibilities, such as the recitation of Shema during its time, or potentially being somech gula l'tfila, making sure that your last bracha of Shema leads directly into Shemona Esrei, so in that situation you would be permitted as well. What's fascinating also is Rav Soloveitchik was of the opinion that, let's say, the shul is davening after Zman Kriya Shema. He said from his perspective, again, since it's only a kiyum, whereas davening Shema is a chiyum, he thought you might be even better off davening alone beforehand, in order that you should be able to read Shema and its brachos before Shemona Esrei. But he seems to be the only one who held that way when it came to that issue. In the end, you could probably be Yotzei Shema by saying Shema earlier on. That's what it seems to be doing. Yes, sir.
I've seen some people do this. Where is it brought down? They come and make the shul during the week, and then when shul's over, they're still davening, and then they say Baruch Hu out loud, and they want everyone to respond, and they continue davening.
So that is an interesting question. There is a set type of way, if you came in late to shul and you want to do it, that requires a shiur in and of itself. But I'm going to have to focus on what we call dvarim shepikdusha, right, the things that we say standing and responsibly in synagogue and can only be said with a minyan. So when and how they can be said is very, very rigidly defined.
Can I say that the whole confusion about mitzvah versus requirement comes from the fact that the concept of minyan comes implicitly into the game, rather than explicitly.
Explain.
Where the term comes from?
Minyan.
Right. It comes from Moshe talking to God, or somewhere else?
So we learn it, actually, of all odd places, from the Meraglim.
Right. Okay. Right. So, but it's implicit. This is implicit.
Yeah. Meaning rather than explicit.
Okay. Yeah.
So I can make the argument that tefillah is implicit.
Tefillah is implicit?
I mean, who says it's really a biblical requirement?
But
only the Rambam holds it's a biblical requirement.
To sacrifice.
Right. But that's an implicit. Meaning, people weren't davening Shemona Esrei before the Second Temple period. It's a good question. The Magen Avraham seems to think straight out that women have the same fulfillment of requirement and responsibility. Like there would be no difference in terms of their fulfillment there, in terms of Tfilas HaTzibor, for going to Minyan.
And if, for the people who don't say that, are there people who don't say that?
I mean, listen, everyone's going to try to defend the status quo. You know what I mean? Like the Mishnah Berurah and the Aruch HaShulchan will look at their mothers who were very pious women and not want to say that they were doing anything wrong. So they'll try to prove that only when you can be counted for the Minyan do you have that fulfillment, and they'll try to find it. But I think the simple reading would be that everyone benefits from davening with the Minyan.
But according to that, how would you explain if you can't say Kedusha, like when you miss Kedusha because you're still saying Shemona Esrei?
Yeah.
Would the woman also have to speed up?
Like I said, yes. Yes. The same fulfillment of Dvarim Shepe Kedusha happens for women as happens for men.
But, you know, when we daven sometimes, you all have to daven with kavana.
Yeah.
And sometimes when you have to go faster, the kavana is not there.
Yeah.
So
like I said, I would never tell anyone to do it all the time, but every so often you should make the press to what's it called? To be with the congregation. The other thing you could do is become elected rabbi of a synagogue, and then everyone has to wait for you. So, that's your other option. Yeah.
If somebody comes after the baruch hu, is he obligated to say it, and is the minyan obligated to wait till he says it?
Again, that's a separate issue. I'm going to deal with it on a separate occasion. That's a good question.
Then about the women question. If there's a woman tefillah group, okay, I don't have a person coming to shul and davening with the hill.
So it's interesting. It's interesting. There's a bit of debate in the Achronim. So let's say there's seven of us. If there's seven of us, should we stay in shul and daven together, or should we all just go home and daven on our own? So Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to think, what? There's no, unless it's ten, it's nothing. Other Achronim seem to think that no, anytime a group of people davens together, there's more potential for that davening. So from that perspective, there would be more meaning for a group of women to...
Simultaneous.
What do you mean?
The woman tefillah group is going on at the same time as the
shul. Oh, so that would be from the perspective of the women, they would be missing out on a kiyum of tefillah b'tzibur. Anytime you would have any simultaneous davening that goes along with the main tefillah b'tzibur.
I have a question, maybe most people know the answer. You say achronim many times. What does it mean?
Achronim refers to any one of the Rabbanim or Poskim that come after, let's say, 1500, the year 1500. Anyone before that is a Rishon, medieval is Rishon. Early modern and modern is an Acharon.
Does it make a difference?
Yeah. I mean, for some it does, for some it doesn't. Like the Vilna Gaon and the Ksos HaChoshen and others had no issues arguing with Rishonim, but usually the rule is that an Achron won't argue with a Rishon because of they have greater authority.
Seniority.
Yeah.
Also, do Rashi and Tosfos try to explain why Rav Nachman in the first paragraph that we discussed didn't?
No. Which is why, meaning that leaves it, again, it would seem to be that it can't be a mitzvah. It has to be a kiyum from that perspective. Like I said, it's something we view as it's a value, I should say, that we have a very strong halachic feelings about, but I can't say that you're required. Okay.